Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the third line of the third to last narrow line before the lines get wide, if you prefer. You can count 20 lines from the top. Before we begin the Gemara, we have a note on the side, the topic heading, where we've written Hoda'ah al Nesinas Matana. One needs to inform the receiver of a gift before they receive the gift. We're going to speak about Nesinas Pas Latinok, someone who gives bread to a child. He gives a child a sandwich. And how do you deal with his parents? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosan Es HaShabbos. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a gift to the Jewish people, the gift of Shabbos. So we now turn to the Gemara, the third to the last of the narrow lines. Omer Rabbi Chamo, Rabbi Chanina, HaNoisei Matono L'Chavero, a person who gives a gift to his friend, Ein tzorach lehodio. You don't have to inform the receiver. Shenemar Moshe lo yoda ki koran or ponov. When Moshe Rabbeinu descended from Mount Sinai, his face was radiant. That we're associating with a gift from the Almighty. The Almighty caused his face to be radiant. And the Pasuk says, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not know that. So, Kodesh Baruch gave him a gift, and he didn't inform Moshe Rabbeinu of the receipt. He didn't inform him that he was giving him the gift. Meisvei, we raise an objection. There is a Pasuk that begins with the expression, with the words, Ach es shabsoisai tishmoru, lo das ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Omar Loya Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe. Regarding this pasuk, we see the Almighty says to Moshe, Moshe Matona Toive Yeshli Beveis Kinozai, Veshabashma. It says, I have a wonderful gift in my treasury, and its name is Shabbos. Vani Mevakesh Litno Lisrael, and I intend to give it to the Jewish people. Leich Vodia Oisom. Go and inform them of such, that I will be giving them the gift. Mikan Omer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Based on this, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel concludes: Hanoisin pas latinok tzorich lohudia limo. If you give a piece of bread to a child, you have to inform the mother. Now Rashi adds: Tzorich lohudia es imo laasos loy ois v'simin shim yochlenu kodim shiovel imo tiras ois v'tishalenu mi also lochkach. You have to make a sign on the child, so that if he eats the bread before he gets to his mother will ask him, what caused this sign to come upon you? And the child will tell him, Yomar Ploni, and he'll say that so-and-so gave me, Vagam Nosan Li, that so-and-so made the sign, Vagam Nosan Li Pas. He, so-and-so made this sign on me, which the Gemara will say what that is. And in addition to that, the child will say, and he gave me some bread. Mitoch kach yedu avivimo, and through that, the child's parents will know, Shu Avom, that the one who gave the kid the bread likes them, is fond of them, Vitirbe Chiba v'reus b'Yisrael. This will cause increased affinity and friendship amongst the Jewish people. What's the point? We see here that you have to inform the receiver of the gift before giving it. In other words, you've got to inform the receiver of the gift. Rav Chama says that when you give a gift, you don't have to inform the receiver. How do we resolve these two sources? In other words, the source versus Rav Chama's teaching. Loi kashya, there is no difficulty. Ha b'matona davida l'gliye. Ha b'matona delo avida l'gliye. With regard to a matona, the avida l'gliye, that will become known, it will become obvious to the receiver that he got the gift, so you don't have to inform him ahead of time. You don't have to trouble yourself with informing him. He'll find out anyway. That is the case with regard to the glow. Because what happened was that when Moshe Rabbeinu descended from Mount Sinai and he had dealings with people, people were awestruck or fear-struck by this glow, and they receded from dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he inquired and he discovered that he had this glow. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't have to inform him ahead of time. It would be something that he will find out anyway. However, a matona de la vidugliye, a gift that isn't going to become revealed, isn't going to become obvious on its own. In the example of the child, if he would eat the bread and his parents would never discover it, so you've got to do something to generate their awareness of the gift. The Gemara asks, Shabbos nami matona davido legluye. Shabbos, which we saw in the source, needed to be informed of it. Why? Shabbos is a day of rest. Out of the 7 days of the week, the Jewish people were given Shabbos, which includes the opportunity to experience a day of rest. So is that not a gift that will become known? So the Gemara answers, Matan schora lo avidu l'gliye. The schar, the reward for observing Shabbos, the reward in the Olam Haba, in the world to come, that is something that is not going to become known on its own, obviously before one gets to the world to come. So therefore, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to inform them that by keeping the Shabbos, one will deserve a great reward in the world to come. Omar Mar. Now this is a quote from that which we saw just a few lines up. You can see with the arrows to the side where this is from. Mikan Omar Rav Shimon Liel Hanosin Paslatino Tzorch Ledia Limo. From the Pasuk of Shabbos, we learn that if you give a piece of bread to a child, you have to arrange for it that his mother finds out. And we saw before the significance of finding out that which we dashed underlined in the Rashi before, Vatirbe Chiba Vareus B'Yisrael. So, my Ovid Lei, the Gemara asks, what do you do to the child so as to arouse the mother's curiosity and hence discovery of the bread? Answer, Shayef Lei Mishcha Umoli Lei Kuchla. You can smear the child with some oil or fill his eyes with some type of cosmetic. Kuchla is a cosmetic, maybe it's something like mascara, and that upon seeing the child with oil or with something coloring his eyes, the mother will ask, who did this to you? And the child will say, so-and-so did it to me, and he also gave me some bread. And that will make the parents happy. Nowadays, the Gemara says, in its time, that if you were to see a child with smeared with oil or with a mascara in his eyes, people would think that someone is practicing black magic. So, what are you going to do to arouse the parents' curiosity? You're obviously not going to want to do something that's going to create the impression that black magic is being practiced. So, Omar Rav, Popo, Shayef, Lei, Me'oisoi, Hamin. If you gave him some bread, so you smear some breadcrumbs on the child, and that will arouse the parents' curiosity and hence discovery of the gift. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi, Kol mitzvot, Shenosan lohem HaKadosh Baruch Yisrael, all the mitzvot that were given by the Almighty to the Jewish people, Nosan Lohem Befarhesya. He gave it to them in the open, in public, Chutz Mishabos, Shenosan Lohem Betzina, with the exception of Shabbos, which was given to them in private. Shenemar, the pasuk describing Shabbos says, Beini Uvein Bnei Yisrael Ois Hi Le'olam. The Shabbos is between me and the Jewish people, a sign forever. So Shabbos, as opposed to the other mitzvos, was given in private. All the other mitzvos were given to the Jewish people with the awareness of the world that the Jews were receiving the Torah. Question, Ihachi, if Shabbos was a private matter, lo le'anshu nochrim alah, then the nochrim, the idol worshippers, should not be punished for their not having accepted it. The Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah reports, tells a story that when the Kodesh Baruch Hu was preparing to give the Torah, he went to all the nations of the world and offered them the opportunity to accept the Torah. And one nation after the other rejected the offer. And because of that rejection, so then eventually the idol worshippers of the world will be held responsible for not having accepted the Torah. And they're going to be held accountable for each mitzvah in the Torah that they refused. The question here is, if Shabbos was never made a public matter, why should they be held accountable for their non-acceptance of Shabbos? So the Gemara answers, Shabbos odoye al deinhu. Shabbos, in fact, they were informed of. Matan schoro lo odinhu. The reward for observing Shabbos, that is what they were not informed of. Ve'iboy esemo, another approach is, matan schoro nami odinhu. The reward for observing Shabbos was something they were made aware of as well. Neshama yisera lo odinhu. But the neshama yisera, literally the extra soul that one receives on Shabbos, that they were not informed of. The Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, Neshama Yisera no sein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'adam Erev Shabbos, ulemotzoi Shabbos notlin osa heimenu. An extra neshama is given to a person on Friday, and at the end of Shabbos, it is taken from him. Shenemar shavas vayinofash. And this is darshan, this is explained, kivan sheshavas, once Shabbos leaves, vay ovdo nefesh, woe unto the lost soul, the extra soul. The Rashi explains a little more, what do we mean by the extra neshama? Neshama yisera, Rashi says, roichav lev lemenucha ulesimcha v'lios posuach lerevocha v'yochav yishte v'ein nafsho kotza olav. It's that feeling of expansiveness that a person experiences on Shabbos, that he's able to sit down and enjoy a large meal with a lot of drink and not feel repulsed by it. On a mundane level or a superficial level, it might be understood that if one were to eat what would be the equivalent of a Shabbos meal in the middle of the week, a person will feel reviled. However, during Shabbos, a person can sit down and eat that same kind of meal and actually enjoy it. That difference in feeling is a function of this phenomenon known as the Neshama Yesera. Oysa Odom Tavshil Me'erev Yom Tov. The Mishnah described the Eruv Tavshilin, the preparation of food before Yom Tov, when Yom Tov comes out on a Friday. So the Mishnah described the preparation of some food on Thursday, which will enable you to cook on Friday, which is Yom Tov for the purpose of Shabbos. Before we begin the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, mivneh heading, and we will see the Gemara discusses mahi atchuna shema'afsher hamaychol liyos roy le'eruv tavshin. What is the characteristic of the food to make it eligible to serve as the Eruv Tavshilin. The house marking that you see, also there are Roman numerals 1 and 2, introduce Shnei Lishonos Hafuchois de Abaye, two opposite versions of Abaye regarding this matter. The double underline highlights the expressions Ilema Elo, which are Shlavei Biwur. These are stages in clarifying what are the elements that make an Eruv, the food suitable to be an Eruv Tavshilin. So now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Lo Shanu Elo Tavshil. Lo Shanu means we were taught that it's an Eruv only if it's a Tavshil, it's a cooked dish. Avo Pas Loi. But bread does not serve as an Eruv Tavshilin. So the Gemara asks, Maishno Pas Delo. What is it about bread that disqualifies it from being an Eruv Tavshilin? I lemo midi de malafes boinon upas lo malafso. If it's because in order to be an Eruv Tavshilin, it has to be something that is eaten along with bread. Rashi says, lifton boinon, the mucha milsa shosu the Shabbos. Lifton is something that you eat together with the bread. And as such, it would be clear that it was made for Shabbos. Bread is bread. You don't eat bread together with bread. It is the basis. And therefore, it's not something that's clear that it's made for Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, is that the reason that bread is not qualified because it's not a lifton? For daisa nami, the lo malafsa, daisa we can translate as porridge, is something that you don't eat it together with bread. The Yomar Rabbi Zera Hani Bavloi Tipshoi, Rabbi Zera would refer to the Babylonians as foolish, the achli nama benamo, because they eat bread with bread. When he was referring to, they were eating their porridge together with bread. And yet, Rav Nechumi says, in the name of Abaye, Ma'arvin b'daisa, that an Eruv Tavshilin can be made using daisa. So here we have an example of something that's not a lifton, it's not something that accompanies bread, and yet it qualifies as an Eruv Tavshilin. It qualifies as that food which one would prepare before Yom Tov to enable him to continue his cooking for Shabbos on Yom Tov day. So, what is it about bread that disqualifies it? Elo midi delo shachiach bo'inon. We need something that's unusual. Upas shchicha. V'daisa lo shchicha. Pas, bread is something that one eats every day, and porridge is not, and therefore, porridge is a good tavshil to qualify as an Eruv Tavshilin, and bread, not. Iko Diamri, beware that we're now entering a different version, so that whatever we've said till now is not binding. So we start all over again with the second version. Omar Abaye, Lo Shonu, Elo Tavshil, Alo Vapaslo. What qualifies as an Eruv Tavshilin? It has to be a cooked dish, not bread. My time, what is it about bread that disqualifies it? I lema de midi de lo shchiach bo'inon upas shchicha. If it's because an Eruv Tavshilin must be something that's not common, and bread is common. For ha daisa lo shchicha, porridge is something that's not common. The Omar of Nechumi Bar Zechariah Mishmei Dabaye. Note the difference in this lashon. It says ein ma'arvin b'daisa. One does not fulfill Eruv Tavshilin by preparing daisa. So that the element of lo shechiach cannot be the element that makes it, that qualifies it as an Eruv Tavshilin. Elo midi de malafes bo'inon. In order to qualify as an Eruv Tavshilin, it has to be something that you would eat together with bread. And if it's that, if it's malafe, so it's clear that it was made for Shabbos. upas lo malafsa, v'daisonami lo malafsa. Bread is not a lifton, and daisa, porridge, is not a lifton. The Yom Rabbi Zera, hani bavloi tipshoi, Rabbi Zera, in describing the Babylonians, called them foolish. The achli na'amo benamo, they eat bread with bread. And as we said before, he was referring to their eating bread along with their porridge. And, of course, describing them as foolish. So, daisa is, according to this version, not an acceptable food for Erev Tashrin, because it's something that's not malafes. You don't eat it together with bread. Toni Rebbi Chia. We have a piece of Gemara now, which on the side we have a little introduction, the Nosei Mivneh. Triangles will appear. Somech, that's the word that's highlighted. These are ma'acholim she'efshir lismoich aleim ke'eruv tavshilin. Different foods that the Gemara describes as being suitable as the eruv tavshilin. So Reb Chia teaches in a Tanaic source, adoshim she'beshulei kedera. Adoshim often are translated as lentils. The adoshim that are at the bottom of a pot. This is when one's cooking up a dish in a pot, so these adoshim are those that settle at the bottom. Somech aleihem mishum eruv tavshilin. A person can rely upon them. If he had cooked up a pot of vegetables, of adoshim, and they settled to the bottom of the pot, and he did this on Thursday, he can rely on them as his eruv tavshilin, and not say that they're insignificant, and hence nullified. The hani mili the is behu kazayis. This is true. It's suitable provided there is an olive quantity of these adoshim. Om Reb Yitzchok Breider of Yehuda shamnunis sheal gabi hasakin. Fat that accumulated on a knife. This fat is probably from meat that someone cooked up and he cut it into sections, and fat accumulated on the knife. So this fat is, Gemara says, goro, you can scrape it off, and rely on the fat as your eruv tavshilin. Of course, when it says goro, Rashi says, goro me erev yomtov, you scrape it off the knife, Erev Yom Tov, put it aside, and that will be your Erev Tavshilin. V'hani mili, the isbuk is as provided that there's an olive quantity of fat. Omer of Asi, Omer Rav, Dogim Ktanim Meluchin, Ein Bohem Mishum Bishulei Nochrim. Small, salted fish. This involves taking raw fish and salting them, and after salting them, so they become edible. These dogim tan meluchim ein bohem mishum bishulei nochrim. This means that if a Gentile were to cook them up after they were salted, one would be allowed to eat them and not fall under the prohibition of bishulei nochrim. A Jew is not allowed to eat from food that was cooked by Gentiles, and this is a rabbinic restriction, the fear being that if one eats from food that Gentiles prepared, so then the Jews will come to a greater level of familiarity, of friendship, and that could lead to intermarriage. And we strive to avoid the problem of intermarriage as much as possible. So this gezeira, known as Bishulei Nochrim, was laid down, was established a long time ago. You can see how the Gemara refers to it. And it doesn't include, however, items that could be eaten anyway without being cooked up. So that there's a concept of something that's nechal kamo shuchai, something that could be eaten raw. Many fruits are like that. An apple you can eat raw, so if a Gentile cooked up an apple, that would not represent a problem of Bishulei Nochrim. Bishulei Nochrim is a problem only with regard to those food items that in their raw state could not be eaten and require the cooking for their becoming edible. The fish we just described, salted, small salted fish, they are edible after the salting. The fish are basically raw. They've simply been salted. Now, if a Gentile comes and cooks them up, that would not constitute a problem of bishul nochri, bishul cooking of a nochri, of a Gentile. Now, Omar Rav Yosef, v'imtsolon nochri, if a nochri roasted, if a Gentile roasted these fish, somech alehem mishum eruve tavshilin. You can rely on that. You can use that as your cooked dish for eruv tavshilin. V'avdinu nochri kosa d'harsina osir. If the Gentile took these fish and prepared it with flour, it has to do with roasting or frying the fish with flour. Now, flour is something that is not edible raw. Therefore, the fact that the Gentile prepared the fish with flour batter, that makes them forbidden. Pshita, well, it's obvious. That goes without saying. In other words, once you know that bishul nochri applies to food items that you wouldn't eat raw, so this certainly fits under that category. Why then do I need Rav Yosef to tell me this point? So the Gemara answers, Mahu de Tema. Without Rav Yosef, I would have thought, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Harsina Iker. The fish fats represent the main part of this dish. Komash Malon, and if the fish fats were the main part, so that we pointed out already, once the fish are salted, that becomes edible. And it's edible even without the Gentiles roasting of it. Komash Malon Kimchiker. So what Rav Yosef is telling us is that if the fish are prepared with a flour batter, the actual main aspect of the food is the flour coating, and hence this dish called Kosa D'Harsana, prepared by a Nochri, would be forbidden based on the grounds of Bishulei Nochrim. Before we go further in the Gemara, on the side we have a Nosei Mivnei, topic heading with structural note. A double underline is featured, and you'll see how this appears a number of lines later as well. Eruve Tavshilin Tzricha, and we have 2 points, Shiur, a Kezayas, and Das. These are the two topics that we've double underlined. The first being that the Eruv Tavshilin requires an amount, a minimum size of an olive quantity of food, and later the element of awareness, and we'll wait till we get to the Gemara to describe whose awareness is necessary when it comes to the preparation of the Erev Tavshilin. So now we start the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Abba, Eruvei Tavshilin Tzrichim Kezayas. A Kezayas is necessary in order for it to be an acceptable Eruv Tavshilin. Again, Eruv Tavshilin is the food that we prepare in the event that Friday is a Yom Tov. We prepare this food on Thursday, which represents the beginning of our Shabbos preparation, so that we can continue preparing for Shabbos on Yom Tov day. Otherwise, it would be usher to start preparing on Shabbos for Yom Tov, for Shabbos. Ibayalo, the Gemara now asks, Kezayis Echad Lekulon, Odilma Kezayis Lechol Echad VeEchad. When the Erev Tavshilin is said to require a Kezayis, does that mean a Kezayis per person that's going to benefit from the Eruv Tavshilin? Or is it one Kezayis all told, no matter how many people are benefiting from the fact that the Eruv Tavshilin is being made? Toshma, Diyom Rabbi Abba Omar Rav. Rav says, Eruvei Tavshilin Tzrichin Kezayis Bein Le'echod Bein Le'mea. So Rav Paskins, he rules that an Eruv Tavshilin requires a Kezayis amount, even if it's made for 100 people. Namely, it's enough that you have one Kezayis even for 100 beneficiaries. Well, the Gemara is not finished. The triangles introduce, on the side we've noted, Kushyos. Haim Eruvei Tavshilin Bechlal Tzrichim Shiur. the questions here are coming from the another extreme, meaning who says that any shi'ur is required for the Erev Tavshilin. Let's see, we're going to, more we'll quote sources that will bring this into question. Tnan, achloi oisha ovad, if the Erev Tavshilin was eaten or it was lost before you finished the Shabbos preparations on Yom Tov, lo yavash lo betchila, so that you cannot cook for Shabbos. If the Erev is gone, so you can't, you cannot cook on Shabbos, on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Shir mimenu kol shehu, samech lov l'Shabbos, if a large part of it was eaten and a kol shehu remains, that's good enough. You can continue on Yom Tov cooking for Shabbos. My kol shehu, when it says any amount remains, what does that mean? Lav afagav deleka kazayas. Doesn't that mean even if there isn't a kazayas, even if all there is a negligible amount left? Isn't that what kol shehu implies? And we've dashed underlined afagav deleka kazayas. You see that you don't need to have an olive quantity. That would be a kashan rav. If you skim up three lines, you see there we dashed underlined tsrifin kazayas. Here you see afagav deleka kazayas. The Gemara answers, loy. When it says, shir menu kol shehu, the is be kezayas. It means that there is at least an olive quantity left. In other words, you may have prepared a large amount of food to serve as your Erev Tavshilin. You can rely on it, even if most of it was eaten, provided a kol shehu remains, and kol shehu means a kezayas quantity, an olive quantity. Toshma, tavshil zeh tzli. When the Mishnah says that you have to prepare a tavshil to serve as your Erev Tavshilin, the tavshil can include something that's roasted. Vafilu kovush sholuk umavushal, even if it's kovush, it's pickled, or it's sholuk, it's overly cooked, or mavushal, it's basically cooked. All different levels of cooking, as we just described, or even pickling, serve as the preparation for the food to be called a tavshil. What we're seeing here is that the word tavshil, which on a strictly translated level would mean something cooked in a liquid environment, and in order to qualify for an Erev Tavshil, it doesn't have to be, it's not limited to that. The kulis soispanin shenosan olav chamin me'erev yom tov. Kulis soispanin is a type of fish. It's a type of fish that's very sensitive to its being cooked. Rashi on the fourth line from the top says, "Kulis spanim dag maliach." It's a salted fish. Huvarach. It's very soft. V'nechal kmo shuchai. You can eat it as is. I mean, once it's salted, you can eat it even without being cooked. Elishenoisin olav chamin v'zeh pishula. People would pour hot water over it, and that would be its cooking. So in this source, we're saying that kulis hispan shenosel of chamin meir of yom tov, these salted fish over which hot water was poured on Thursday being erev yom tov, because of course we're always talking about a yom tov that is the day before Shabbos. So in Eretz Yisrael, where one day of yom tov is observed, it's a Friday Yom Tov. So here we're talking about water, hot water poured over the kulis hispanin on Thursday. Trilaso v'soifo ein lo shi'or. Trilaso means when you're making it initially, when you're preparing it initially. V'sofo means in the event that some of it was eaten or lost. Ein lo shi'or, there is no quantity required. My lav. Ein lo shiur klal. When it says here ein lo shiur, does that not mean that there is no quantity whatsoever? So that even if you have less than a kezias, it's a good eruv tavshilin. Again, that would be a kasha on rav. Lo, that's not the explanation. Ein lo shiur lamalo, avol yesh lo shiur lamato. What the source is telling us is that it has no maximum shiur. However, a minimum shear less than which it would not be a good Erev Tavshilin, that exists, and that being a kezias, an olive quantity. And here we go into the topic of Erev Tavshilin. On the side we have, this is our topic heading, Erev Tavshilin Tzrichim Das. awareness is necessary. Amar Rav Huna, in the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Marav, a ruve tavshilin tzrichin das. Pshita das miniach boinan. It's obvious that you need the awareness of the person making it, that he has to make it, he has to prepare the food with the knowledge that this represents the Eruv Tavshilin and all that that represents. It, for example, it represents the beginning of your Shabbos cooking. So that's obvious that you need his awareness, the person who's preparing the Eruv Tavshilin. The question is, Das mi shenichai loy bo'inon oy loy bo'inon. Do you have to consult with the beneficiary of the Eruv Tavshilin and inform him and consult with him ahead of time so that when it's made, it's done with his approval? Toshma, the Avod Shmuel Marav Akula Nahardo. The father of Shmuel prepared an Eruv Tavshilin for the entire city of Nahardo. You can rest assured he didn't knock on every citizen's door and ask them if they want to have the Eruv Tavshilin made for them. Rabbi Ami Vravasi Marvu Akulu Teveria. Likewise, Rabbi Ami and Ravasi, they prepared an Eruv Tavshilin for all of the citizenry of Teveria. So in response to the question of Das Misha Nichol Abayinon Olo, the answer is no, you don't need to have their awareness and their consent ahead of time. Machriz Rabbi Yankov Bar Idi. Machriz means announced. Rabbi Yankov announced, Mi shelo hiniach eruvei tavshilin yavoi v'yismoch al sheli. Anyone who didn't prepare an eruv tavshilin, come and rely on the one I made. So that Rabbi Yankov was, when he made his eruv tavshilin, he had in mind all those around. V'ad kama, how far did he have in mind? Omar Rav Nechumi Bar Zechariah Mishmei Dabaye Ad Tchum Shabbos. He had in mind all the people that lived within the Tchum Shabbos. And Tchum Shabbos is the measure of 2,000 amas from the city's edge, from that point out 2,000 amas. So that anyone standing within the Tchum of Shabbos, within that area, was included in his Erev. However, people that were standing beyond that area, more than 2,000 amas from the city's edge, he did not have them in mind. Hahu Samyo. Samyo is a blind individual. Dehava Mesader Masniso Kameh de Mar Shmuel, who used to recite Tanaic sources. Rashi says, "Show you there Mishnayis Begirsum Chazar Leim Lefnei Mar Shmuel. Show you Seduros Befiv Ki Koran." This person, this blind person, was a master of Mishnayis. He knew them thoroughly by heart, and he used to recite them in front of Shmuel. Chazir Dehava Otziv. Shmuel noticed that this fellow was sad. Omar Le Amay Otzivis. So Shmuel asked him, "Why are you sad?" Omar le dolo osivi eruve tavshilin. So the blind man says, "I didn't prepare an eruv tavshilin, and it's Yom Tov, and tomorrow Shabbos, and I won't be able to cook anything from Yom Tov for Shabbos. I didn't make an eruv tavshilin." Omar le, so Shmuel says, "Smoch adidi, well, rely on mine. When I made the eruv tavshilin, I seems like he followed in his father's footsteps." Above, the Gemara mentioned that Avud Shmuel made an Erev for all of Nahardo. I made an Erev Tavshilin for all of Nahardo. L'shona, next year, Chazia Dehava Otsev. The same thing happened. Shmuel saw that this fellow was sad. Amale Amay Atzivus, why are you sad? Amale Delo Asiv Erev Tavshilin. I didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Amale, so Shmuel says, Poshea At. You are a negligent individual. You are a sinner in this respect. L'kulei alma shori, for everyone else in Nahardo, he who didn't make an Erev Tavshilin can rely on me. L'didcha aser, but for you, it is forbidden. And notice, Rashi explains, Shmuel was telling him, I don't have in mind people that deliberately or through negligence do not prepare an Erev Tavshilin, people who are not concerned with the teaching of the Rabbanan. Those kind of people I don't have in mind when I prepare the public Erev Tavshilin. Before we continue, we glance at the side of the Gemara. The topic heading reads, Yom Tov Shechal Be'erev Shabbos, a Yom Tov that falls out on a Friday, Ein Ma'arvin Eruvei Tchumin. We do not set up an Eruv Tchumin. An Eruv Tchumin is food that one would place at one extent of a city, outside the city. We mentioned just before that a person has the right to walk beyond the city limits 2,000 amos in any direction. A person can alter his Shabbos location from being considered in the city by placing food at any distance up till 2,000 amos outside of the city in a particular direction. And if he does so the food that he places there, let's say he places some food 2,000 amos outside the city, that person's Shabbos location is deemed to be where the food is, and therefore he can walk another 2,000 amos beyond where the food is, which would be in effect 4,000 amos from the edge of the city. So that institution, that phenomenon known as Eruv Tchumen, the placing down of food in order to establish your location, cannot be done on Yom Tov. In other words, if a person, let's say on Shabbos, has the intention of going more than the standard Tchum outside of the city, and Erev Shabbos is the time that you make the Erev Tchumen. If Erev Shabbos happens to be Yom Tov, so you don't prepare an Erev Tchumen for Shabbos on Yom Tov. The second point that will be discussed is Machloikis im Ma'arvin Eruvei Chatzeros. Can you make on Yom Tov an Erev Chatzeros? An Erev Chatzeros is the collection of food from different members of a courtyard, and that enables the members of the courtyard to carry from the courtyard into their houses and from their houses into the courtyard. Without this food collection that each member contributes, in effect joining everyone together, without that Eruv Chatzeros, you would not be allowed on a rabbinic level to carry from the courtyard, which represents a semi-public domain, into each one's houses, which represents a totally private domain. This is a rabbinic concept, and in order to enable one to carry from the chotzer into the one's individual houses that open into the chotzer, you need to make an Eruv Chatzeros. So, can you make an Eruv Chatzeros on Yom Tov in anticipation of Shabbos, for the purpose of Shabbos? Concerning that, there's a machlokas. So now we turn to the Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan. Yom Tov Shechal Yos Be'erev Shabbos. Friday is Yom Tov. Ein Ma'arvin. One does not prepare an Eruv lo Eruvei Tchumin velo Eruvei Chatzeros. Neither type of Eruv may be prepared. Rebbe appears to be more lenient, and he says, Ma'arvin Eruvei Chatzeros avolo Eruvei Tchumin. The courtyard type Eruv can be made. However, the city extension or your relocation outside of city Eruv cannot be made. And the explanation, B'nei Sha'ata Osro B'davar Osrlo. You can prevent someone from making an Eruv Tchumen because it is something that is Osir on Yom Tov itself. In other words, Yom Tov is a day, just like Shabbos, that you have a tchum restriction. Tchum is the boundary or distance restriction. One, just like on Shabbos, that one cannot venture forth more than 2,000 amas from the city in which he's located. So too, just like on Shabbos, we say he's restricted. So too on Yom Tov. Therefore, you cannot alter one's tchum through food placement on Yom Tov. In anticipation of Shabbos. because, just to repeat ourselves, because Yom Tov itself is a day of tchum restriction. The source goes on to say, V'i ata osro b'davar mutar lo, however, you cannot prevent him from making an Erev Chatzeros, which is something that is not a restriction on Yom Tov day. On Yom Tov day itself, let us say we have a chotzer, a no food collection was made. Nevertheless, you are allowed to carry from the chotzer into the individual homes or apartments that open to the courtyard on Yom Tov. So being that Yom Tov is a day that doesn't experience Eruv, or doesn't experience Eruv Chatzera restriction, you can make an Eruv Chatzeros on Yom Tov for Shabbos. That means you'd be collecting food from the different members of the Chotzer, joining them into a single entity, which enables carrying to take place as we described earlier. Itmar, Rav Omar Halocha Ketana Kamo, Ushmo Omar Halocha Karebi. Rav rules like the Tana Kamo, and our Tana Kamo, as we see it here, says no Eruv can be made on Yom Tov, nor not an Erev Tchumen, nor an Erev Chatzeros. And Shmuel is ruling like Rebbe, which would appear to be more lenient insofar as that Rebbe allows an Eruv Chatzeros to be made on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Ibayaloho. Now the Gemara asks what will appear at first glance to be a peculiar question. Halacha k'Rebbe l'kula or l'chumra? When you say the halacha is like Rebbe, do you mean a lenient ruling, or is it a restrictive ruling? If you follow the Gemara after the brackets, you skip the brackets, the Gemara leaves this question. It says, "My, so what is the din?" When Shmuel says the halacha is like Rebbe, is he trying to be lenient or strict? And then the Gemara goes to answer the question. However, we said when you look at the question initially, the ruling of Shmuel that says we follow Rebbe, is that lenient or restrictive? Would it not be obvious that Rebbe is lenient? Rebbe, in contrast to the Tana Kamma, Rebbe was allowing the making of an Erev Chatzeros, where the Tana Kamma didn't allow. So why is the Gemara even asking this question? That is what the discussion that takes place within the brackets concerns. So the Gemara, after hearing the question, we start now the bracketed section. Pshita de lekula komar. It's obvious that Shmuel's ruling, like Rebbe, is a ruling of leniency. Rebbe was more lenient than the Tana Kamma. The question then is, why is the Gemara even asking the question? Mishum, the Gemara answers, Mishum de Shalach Rebbe Elozer Legola. Rebbe Elozer, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, he sent a message to the diaspora and says, Lo kisha'atem shoinin bebovel, Rebbe Matir v'chachomim osrin. Not like your version, where Rebbe is allowing the making of Erev Chatzeros on Yom Tov for Shabbos and the Chachomim Aser. Elo, the more accurate version is Rebbe Oyser v'chachomim Matirin. Rebbe is restrictive and the Chachomim are lenient, or allowing. So now that we know that there is a different version of Rebbe and the Chachomim, this is what's called Rebbe Lozer's version. So in our Gemara, we saw Shmuel paskening like Rebbe. We want to know which version of Rebbe is Shmuel paskening like, or you can say, which Tanaic source did Shmuel have in front of him? Did he have the source that we have, or did he have Rebbe Lozer's source in front of him? The Gemara answers. It's a long answer, but after the long answer, the Gemara will also reject it. So the Gemara says, Toshma, come and hear the answer. The Rav Tachlifa Bar Avdimi Ovad Uvdo Kavose de Shmuel. Rav Tachlifa paskined like Shmuel. Now, what does it mean to paskin like Shmuel? Ovad Uvdo is to, as we say, is to paskin, is to rule like Shmuel. And Shmuel said, we go like Rebbe. The Omar Rav, and in reaction to Shmuel, Rav said, Tchilas hayro dahay tzur ben rabbonon lekulkula. at the very outset of this ruling of this Sur Rabbon of this Talmud Chacham, namely of Shmuel, Likukula. There's a mess up. You're messing. It creates a mess. If you say that Shmuel was ruling leniently when in Rav's opinion he should not have, that is a mess up to allow something that you are not allowed to do. Eloi, so that this is the answer to the question. You wanted to know what was Shmuel's version of Rebbe? Shmuel's version of Rebbe apparently was a Rebbe who was lenient. And that psak, that ruling, arouses Rav's objection. Eloi, Amris l'chumra, if you're going to say that Shmuel's version of Rebbe was one of restriction, my kilkula ika, what mess up is there if you restrict? So you forbid the making of an Erev Chatzeres as well as an Erev Tchumen. What mess up is there in ruling in a restrictive fashion? So this is the point. This is the answer. As we just read, if you want to know what was Shmuel's version of Rebbe, it must be that he had our version that we have in the frame above, and that gives rise to Rav's objection. The Gemara says no. It could very well be that Shmuel's version of Rebbe was in fact restrictive, and Rebbe's version and Shmuel paskening like it is saying you cannot make an Eruv Chatzeros on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So, what's the problem with that? Why would Rav react negatively to that? So the Gemara explains, Kevon de Mekalkili bo Rabim, since people will forget to make an Eruv on Thursday, and you're telling them they can't make it on Yom Tov, they're going to end up forgetting that they're going to end up forgetting and carry in their chatzeros from the courtyard to their houses without an Eruv when in Rav's opinion they could have made an Eruv on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So let's read this again in the Gemara. Kevan de mekalkeli bo rabim, hainu kilkula. The Gemara at the very top of Yud Zayin and Aleph. We look at Rashi there at the top. Hainu kilkula. Im hoya muter la'arev esmol. If they could have made an Eruv on Friday, like Rav would have you believe, v'hu osar, and Shmuel forbade that. So the ruling of stringency actually results in this mess up. You prevented them from making an Erev Chatzeros, which would have allowed their carrying on in the Chatzeros to the apartments on Shabbos. They will have, in the event that people will forget that no Eruv was made, and that's a function of your having restricted them from making the Eruv on Friday, they'll end up carrying without an Eruv. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Rav Huna, Halacha Kerebi Ule Isur. So the ruling here is to paskin like what would be Rebbe Lozer's version of Rebbe, where Rebbe in fact was restrictive, and therefore you would not be allowed to make an Eruv Chatzeres on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.